This is Marathon Training Academy, episode 81.
Welcome to the Marathon Training Academy podcast. I'm Trevor.
And I'm Angie.
In this episode, we recap the Garmin Marathon in the Land of Oz. Plus, we'll tell you how to regain your fitness after a physical setback. And for this episode's quick tip, Angie will tell you about the running skirt that gets her top recommendation. And Angie, I am really excited to hear about running skirts.
I'm sure everyone will be excited to hear about you testing them, too.
Actually, they do make running skirts for men, don't they?
Yes, they do. They do. I mean, I'm kind of a fan of the kilts for men, but they actually make like a real running skirt for men as well, which is not quite as attractive as the kilts, if I do say so myself.
Why are you a fan of kilts?
I don't know. I just think they're cool.
You know
the whole Braveheart thing?
Yeah, that was a good movie. Well, we have lots to talk about, so we're going to get into all the good stuff. We recently ran a marathon in Kansas, in Olathe, Kansas, the Garmin Marathon. We're going to tell you all about that and how it went for us and some recommendations when it comes to your marathon training and specifically how to regain your fitness after you've had a physical setback of some kind. And we have a couple of announcements also we want to make. First of all, Angie has signed us up for a marathon in the fall. So I will turn it over to you and let you tell them about which one we're going to do.
Well, our first fall marathon. I haven't got the whole schedule done for the fall, but we're signed up for the Air Force Marathon and Half Marathon in September.
In Dayton, Ohio.
Yes. So it's a mid-sized marathon, around 15,000, well-organized. Course looks really good, and a lot of the marathon is actually run on the Air Force base up there. So, yeah, something neat, something new and different, and hopefully I will be in great shape and go for a Boston qualifying time.
You will be in great shape. And we're also signed up for Missoula, which we've talked about, and that's in July. It's coming up, you know, it's a couple months we're going to be there. How's your training going?
It's going well, yeah.
How many miles did you run today?
7 this morning.
That is not good enough.
Well, considering it's out the door at 5:45, yes it was. And so if that's not good enough, how many did you do?
I just got back from a nice 12-mile trail run, and your mom came out with me. She did 7 with me, and that was fun. Saw a box turtle on the road the last mile, and I thought about picking it up and bringing it back because our little son Liam, he's 2. He's seen a turtle once, and he talks about turtles all the time. But I thought, nah, this is state land. You know, it's under the Missouri Conservation Department. I don't think they want you removing wildlife. So I just helped the little guy cross the road, put him over on the other side.
And, aren't you the good-hearted runner?
I always see a lot of turtles on the roads anyway during the summer, so Liam will have his chance to get to see a turtle up close again. Or we could just go to the St. Louis Zoo. They're up there.
That's true.
But yeah, it felt good to get that running today. Well, you have recently become a certified coach with RRCA, Roadrunners Club of America, and you had to go to a class for that. And so tell us about that a little bit.
Yes, I attended a 2-day intensive training course up in St. Louis. It was taught by Randy Aceta, who has a PhD, and he's the director of coaching education for the RRCA. And we covered a lot of topics. You know, there's could have definitely gone into a lot more things as well, but things like coaching history, types of runners and their training needs, running physiology, building running programs, running form, nutrition, the business of coaching, sports psychology, injuries, heat, altitude, designing customized training plans. There was just a ton of stuff that was packed into there. Plus, it was fun interacting with other coaches from across the country and seeing, you know, what they're doing in their business and, you know, the kind of experiences that they've been having. So it was really good.
So now should we start calling you Coach Angie?
You may.
I know you've been kind of reluctant to take that title, although you have been coaching people for a good while now, and you probably knew a lot of the stuff.
Yeah, I did. A lot of it was very familiar, but there was also some areas that I, you know, wasn't really strong at. I think things like speed workouts, track workouts, things like that, you know, because I haven't really come from a track background, or, you know, I didn't run in college or anything. So that kind of stuff was really good to see what other people are doing, what are the recommendations, how to really help people in their speed training,
yeah,
take them to the next level, things like that.
And we have some people in the academy right now as members who are just crushing it. So with this new coaching certification, we're going to make some changes in the academy, some different levels of membership. You want to work more hands-on with people. You have been doing that already, but even more so, more of an intensive coaching program. It's going to be a little more money than the basic level of membership, but it's going to require a lot more effort and time from you. And you're going to be, instead of having a 20-week training plan for people, it's going to be more two- or three-week blocks.
Exactly. Right? It's going to be less of a cookie-cutter type program and more of a periodized program where, you know, I'm looking at your individual needs and we're planning 2 to 3 weeks out and then getting evaluation on how that's going, you know, planning from there so we can really help take you to the next level. So people who are members of the academy right now who are already getting that will grandfather them in.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, anyone new that comes in that wants personalized coaching, we're going to be happy to work with them.
For sure. And if there's too many people and there's not enough time in the day, we'll just have to close the doors, right?
Right. Yeah, there will only be a certain amount of people that I can personally coach because I offer unlimited email coaching and, you know. It can take some time and everything, but I really enjoy that hands-on and working with people one-on-one.
What kind of goals do people have in their running when they come to you for coaching?
I guess there's a whole variety, just thinking at some people that I'm working with right now. One lady is trying to PR at a half marathon.
Uh-huh.
She's battling some injuries, so we're working with that, doing a lot of cross-training with her. Another lady has run a marathon and then just kind of, you know, fell off the running bandwagon, got really out of shape. And so now she's looking to build her running base back and do another marathon to PR, preferably. So she's kind of looking at the long haul of getting her fitness back.
Mm-hmm.
Then I've got one guy I'm working with right now who is working to qualify for Boston this fall. So he's looking to go sub-3 hour in the marathon.
Wow.
And, you know, there's just a huge variety of people, what their goals are. Some people, you know, want a PR at a 10K. So people have a variety of short-term, medium-range, long-term goals. And, you know, it's fun to be able to have a part in that.
So if I come to you and want the personalized coaching, what's the first thing that you do for me?
Well, I'm going to try to get to know you a little better. So I'm going to send you a questionnaire.
Oh, you don't know me good enough?
Hypothetically here.
Yeah.
So I'll send you a detailed questionnaire about your background, your running background, your health history, just some things that I need to know to get a good idea of where you're at and where you want to go. And from that, I'll build you probably a 2-week schedule just to see how you respond to it. You know, maybe you pick things up really quickly and you're faster than you think you are, things like that, then we can move a lot faster. Maybe we need to move a little bit slower. So it's just a process of evaluation and taking each person at their own level and moving them forward.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Coach Angie. I'm still going to call you Honey.
That's fine. Coach Honey would be fine.
Okay. Yes, ma'am.
Weren't you asking me to build you a training plan today?
That is true. Well, we have a couple of shout-outs that we like to make, people who have accomplished some things in their life and they're running. So Angie's going to read something from Elise and Jody.
First one says, Angie and Trevor, I'm an avid listener to your podcast. I love hearing you describe your race experiences and really enjoy the interviews you do on the show. Several years ago, I started running as a way to get fit, having previously been more or less sedentary. Several years later, after a couple of 5 and 10Ks, as well as ankle surgery, running is now an essential part of my well-being and lifestyle. I just finished my first half marathon in 1 hour, 54 minutes, and 28 seconds. If anyone would have told me I could run a half marathon several years ago, I would have told them they were crazy. Now I hope to complete a few more halves before moving on to a full marathon. Thank you for all the inspiration and words of encouragement you give on the show. I no longer doubt the possibilities of what my body can do, and I challenge anyone who says otherwise about themselves. Thank you again, and I look forward to your future podcast. Best, Elise.
All right. Well, congratulations on completing your first half marathon. You ran a faster half marathon than I did for my first one. I finished in like 2:02. And I like what she says about no longer doubting the possibilities. When I was on the run with your mom today, she was asking me, what do you tell people who say they can't run because they have a bad knee? And it kind of made me think, because you could offend people, you know, by telling them, oh, don't make excuses. But sometimes it is, you know, a legitimate problem with their knee and maybe they're never going to be able to run. But a lot of times, don't you think it's kind of more of the mindset that there are people who are running marathons who have bad knees right now or worse?
Yes, I think it really comes down to, your mental attitude and what your goals are. Mm-hmm. You know, some people don't want to run and it scares them. And so if you have a bad something, it's a good out. You know, they don't really want to explore that possibility. And that's fine. It's not like we're twisting people's arms to make them runners, you know.
No.
But if you do want to explore those possibilities and see what your body is capable of, that's one of the wonderful things about running, is that it'll increase your self-esteem and your goals will increase and just your outlook on life. It's like, wow, so many more things are possible than I ever imagined.
And if somebody did have a bad knee, giving that as an example, there's a way to ease yourself into it and do marathon training, you know, a smart way and manage the injury, don't you think?
I think for a lot of people, if they're willing to put in the work and, yeah, try to find a way to do it, it is possible. You know, I'm not saying that everyone should run a marathon, but if you want to run a marathon, then you should at least try. The second email comes from Jody. She says, Angie and Trevor, I started listening to you guys when I was a new runner with the goal of completing a 10K. You guys inspired me to run my first half marathon in November of 2012 using your beginner training plan with a time of 2 hours, 8 minutes, and 16 seconds. I just finished my second half marathon and wanted to do it in 2 hours. I used your 2-hour half marathon training plan, and I never thought I had a chance of doing it. I'm happy to report that I finished in 1 hour, 57 minutes, and 49 seconds. Thanks, Angie, for the awesome plan. Keep the training plan and podcasts coming. Love you guys, Jody.
Well, we love you too, Jody. Anybody that uses your plan is a lovable person.
Yeah, right. We love what she's been able to accomplish. I think that's exciting.
Yeah, congratulations on running that faster half marathon. And I'm sure it's gotten into her system now. She's going to think, man, can I run?
Can I break 150?
Yeah, 150. Who knows? Well, we just want to say congratulations to all of you who are seeing new milestones. We want to encourage you to keep taking action toward your dreams. And now we're going to go ahead and get into our feature segment of the show, a recap of the Garmin Marathon in the Land of Oz. Well on my way, well on my way, well on my way.
The Garmin Marathon is held in the town of Olathe, Kansas, and it was April 20th this year.
And it took me several months to even remember how to pronounce that town correctly. I was saying like Olathe, sounding like an idiot. It's actually pretty close to Kansas City.
Yes, it is, just about 25 minutes or so.
Just barely into Kansas. And it was Angie's Kansas Marathon.
Yes, it was.
Angie working on her 50-state goal. That's what brought us there.
Yes, it did.
We didn't want to go too far into Kansas. We want to be able to get over there in a day and, you know, come back.
Just want to dip our toe over the border.
Yes.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting. The word Olathe, you know, you said it was hard to pronounce, is actually the Shawnee Indian word for beautiful. And it was a pretty scenic area. You know, there was quite a few trees and rolling hills. You know, you think Kansas is going to be flat. Mm-hmm. But being so close to the Kansas City area, there was plenty of hills. And it was, you know, greening up because it was spring, so.
And it advertised itself as a flat, fast course. And you're saying there was lots of hills.
Well, they have a flat, fast half, which I did not read enough. It was called a wickedly fast half marathon, uh-huh, which has a different course than the full marathon. So this race is in its 12th year, and it's really well-organized, nice small-town marathon. The expo itself was located on the grounds of the Garmin headquarters, which is a, you know, beautiful campus, nice 8-story building. And I thought the expo was rather small, and it was held outside, so because the weather was a little bit cool, it didn't seem like people were really hanging around. It was just kind of a go there, get your packet, you know, look around, leave kind of thing. So each runner received a cotton Oz-themed shirt, and
it's not now a muscle shirt on me.
They were rather small, and Trevor deemed them unmanly because they have like a big heart on the front.
Yeah.
So between the small size and like the heart, you know, it just kind of looks funny. But yeah, only the full marathon finishers received the nice tech shirt.
I always stress out when it comes to marathon t-shirts because they're really important to me. You know, I love to collect these things. You have to order your size when you register, and it's hard to tell if it's going to be too big or too small. So I don't know if anybody else has that problem. It's really frustrating when you get there and you get your medium and it's too small, or you get your large and it's too big.
I don't really care about stuff like that. I'm like, oh, whatever, another shirt. Definitely it's not all about the swag for me.
I'm definitely not wearing my Garmin t-shirt in public. The cotton one that we got at the expo.
Yes.
I didn't get since I only ran the half, I didn't get a technical shirt. You had to run the full and finish it to get one, and it says finisher on the back. It looks, that was a pretty nice shirt.
It was very nice.
Had a wicked good time, is what it says.
And I did.
Yeah.
Actually, the Oz theme carried over into the medals, too. And last year, the medal was a scarecrow, and this year it was the Tin Man. So, voila the heart.
Yeah, it's a really nice-looking medal. We'll put a picture of it over on the blog.
Everything was well-designed and everything. And I thought it was cool, on the afternoon of the expo, there was a Q&A session with elite runners Scott Jurek, Josh Cox, and Desi Davila. And that was held in the Garmin building. And I really enjoyed that. What did you think?
That was awesome. It's a lot of fun to go hear these celebrity runners, these elite runners speak. We didn't ask a question or anything, but other people did. And it was about an hour-long session and really enjoyable looking into the life of an elite runner. Could you, maybe you should talk about really quick who these people are if someone doesn't know.
Yeah, well, Scott Jurek is a very decorated ultra runner. He has won about every big ultra race out there. And he's written a book, which is called Eat and Run. So, you know, he's nearing the end of his competitive career, but he's, you know, really an awesome guy.
He won the Western States 100-mile endurance run 7 years in a row. And like Angie said, a bunch of other races. I think he won Badwater twice. And then how about Josh Cox?
He is the U.S. 50K record holder. So he competes mostly at the half marathon, marathon distance. I'm not sure how many ultras he does. But he's a really neat guy. He trains up in Mammoth Hills, California, with the Mammoth Track Club. And just, you know, real personality, funny guy.
He is very talkative. And is he on the same team, running team, as like Meb Keflezighi and Ryan Hall and some of those guys?
Yes, Ryan Hall used to run with Mammoth Track Club, but he doesn't anymore. But there are some, you know, big name runners, Dina Castor, people like that, who are with that group.
And who is Desi Davila?
She represented the U.S. at the Olympics for the marathon in 2012, but she was unable to finish the race because of an injury. She also took second place at the Boston Marathon in 2011.
Wow.
And so she's, you know, definitely a marathoner to watch. Hopefully, you know, she'll be able to take some of the top spots at these races. She's kind of coming back from injury right now, and I don't know exactly what her goals are. Did they talked about that or not?
I don't remember. I wonder if they ever call her Desi the Diva.
She doesn't seem very diva-ish.
Okay.
She's really tiny, like 5'1", probably less than 100 pounds. You know, kind of seems like a more of a shy person, but, you know, really laid back and nice. So it was fun to get to see them interact.
So Angie and I actually stayed in Overland Park about 15 miles away from Olathe. We stayed at the fabulous Drury Inn and Suites. The Drury Company is a sponsor of this podcast. So if you're traveling, make sure to stay at the Drury Hotel. Use our promo code MTA, by the way.
We always enjoy our stay at the Drury. So the next day, the race started at 7 a.m. This was on a Saturday. And I really thought parking and getting to the starting line area was very easy.
That's the great thing about small races.
It is. You don't have to worry about
parking garages or whatnot.
Yes. And there were a lot of porta-pots near the starting line with relatively short lines, which is always a bonus. There were approximately 1,700 runners between the half and full marathon, about 1,000 doing the half marathon and 700 doing the full marathon. At the starting line area, they actually had a hot air balloon, which I've never seen before. And the race director was up in it doing his announcing. And that was pretty cool.
It was.
They also had a moment of silence for the victims of the Boston explosion. And, you know, that was pretty meaningful. A lot of people were wearing signs on their shirt that they were running in honor of the Boston Marathon. And, you know, a lot of people were sporting their Boston colors, their blue and gold. And
I was amazed how many people were there who had run Boston and had the official jacket.
Yes. Actually, one of the pace group leaders that I ran with for a while, she said that she had done the Boston Marathon the previous week.
Hmm.
And then she was there pacing for the 340 group. I was like, wow, how are you doing this, you know?
Did she actually finish?
She finished the Boston Marathon.
Huh.
So, you know, definitely that whole tragedy was on people's minds. It made the marathon a lot more meaningful, I think. You know, people were able to look past their own, you know, suffering, so to speak, during the race and really think about the meaning behind it and what others had gone through just so recently.
Yeah. So what did you think about the course?
Well, I guess we probably have very different takes on the course because it split off at mile 3. So the full marathoners went in one direction and the half marathoners continued on. And the course wasn't totally closed to traffic, but they really had excellent traffic control. Some intersections, there was, you know, like 3 police officers making sure things were safe and traffic was was stopped and the runners were able to move through. So there were a lot of volunteers. I thought it was really well organized. The first part of the marathon course, like the first half, I think through mile 14, was pretty hilly. I was not expecting that many hills. They weren't killer hills, but it was just constant, you know, like hill after hill. And, you know, just get done with one and like, oh, here comes another one. So that definitely tried my legs a little bit more, but it wasn't horrible. And then once we got to mile 14, it was a paved trail, kind of an out and back section through a wooded area, which was really nice. And that flattened out a lot. So the second half, you know, actually was a lot faster than the first half.
It was primarily residential, the course, wouldn't you say?
Yes, primarily residential until we got on that trail.
Yeah.
So, you know, it wasn't like overly scenic, I would say, but, you know, it was decent.
Like suburbs sometimes.
Yeah,
too.
Suburb kind of thing. And it was fairly chilly that morning. It was around 34 degrees and pretty windy, you know. And I actually kept my throwaway shirt on till mile 7, which usually I have it gone in the first couple of miles.
I think mine came off at like mile 5.
I was just chilled. And then after I took my shirt off, like for the next 3 miles, I was like regretting it. Like, oh, I should have hung on to it. Like, oh, well, I just have to keep producing body heat by moving forward rapidly. So, yeah, I thought they had really good aid stations. And, you know, there wasn't a ton of spectators. But, you know, around the aid stations, there was a good number of spectators. And they were fairly enthusiastic and kind of had the Oz theme. Some people were dressed up. So it was neat, and I actually liked the out and back section because as I was going on the way out, the faster runners were coming back in, and it's always neat to see them run. And the trail wasn't very wide, so you could really see them pretty closely. And then, of course, when you were on your way back, it was fun to be able to see people who were behind you. There was a lot of marathon maniacs who did the race, and so, you know, we greeted each other, and It was kind of motivating to be able to see people I sort of knew.
Angie wears her Marathon Maniac shirt at every race now. It's
well,
like
I have
lucky shirt now. Isn't
I have for the last few. Yeah, I've really found that it helps you connect with other runners during the race, and it can be really motivating. You know, people will say, hey, maniac, you know, in the last miles of the race, it's like any encouragement you can get is is nice. So, yeah, I really enjoy that community.
So what was your time?
My official time was 3 hours, 51 minutes, and 14 seconds.
So you got under 4 hours. That is awesome.
Finally.
So let's talk about that for a moment, because we want to throw a little something in here about regaining your fitness. You know, we thought maybe this would be helpful for people.
Seems like I'm always trying to regain my fitness, doesn't it?
Well, you know, you've gone through pregnancies, and as some of you might know, Angie had a miscarriage in December. And basically, it started you at the very beginning. You had to work up to 1 mile.
Yes. I was very anemic after losing a lot of blood. And, yeah, the first time I went out to run, a couple weeks afterward, I couldn't even run a quarter mile. It was just totally wiped out. So that was obviously discouraging in more ways than one. But I was able to start building back up and run that first mile again. It's like... Well, it's small, but at least it's something. So I've spent the rest of the winter and this part of spring getting my running base back and building back up. And we did a couple marathons. We did New Orleans in February and then the St. Louis, Go St. Louis in the beginning of April.
So your time in New Orleans was not very far from 4 hours.
No, it was 4:01. So, you know, I was happy with that. I was just kind of doing that marathon to see where my fitness was.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, then St. Louis, because of all the hills and everything, it was 4:07, a little bit slower. So I kind of thought, oh, I'm moving in the wrong direction. So it really felt good psychologically to break through that 4-hour barrier again, because it's been a while. And obviously, I'm still a long way from where I want to be. But now I kind of know I'm moving in the right direction. So, you know, I know there's a lot of people out there who are like me. They've lost fitness for one reason or the other, whether it's been pregnancy or an injury or illness, even a job change or a move, things like that can sometimes throw you off your game and get out of your running schedule and everything. So the first thing you want to do is to have a goal. It's important, especially to have a specific goal. It's not enough to say, someday I want to break 4 hours in the marathon, because that's not specific enough. You need to have short-term and long-term goals. So you want a goal that's specific and realistic. And once you have your goal, you need to, like I said, make a realistic plan. It can be easy to make excuses for why you can't, to not push yourself enough, or even sometimes to push yourself too much for the level of fitness that you're at. So I would encourage you to consider getting a running coach who can design a specific training plan for you. That way, you know, you're pushing enough, but not too much, and you have that accountability that you're making progress towards your goal. Another thing is not to get discouraged. I know it can be really discouraging when your mind tells you you should be able to do a lot more. If you've run a marathon before and even had a pretty good PR, and then here you are, in my case, not breaking 4 hours for a long time, you can kind of get discouraging. You're like, wow, am I ever going to get back to where I want to be, to that level of fitness?
I've heard you say, how was I even able to run 3:35?
I know, it feels like it was a different person. It's kind of like, are you sure I did that? So, you know, just be patient with yourself. You have to start from where you are right now. And you will get back there if you take the right steps. But just be patient with the process and just be patient. We all have to start where we're at and you can get there. And then another thing I would say is to be safe as you train. Don't just go out there and start running a bunch of miles if your fitness level can't handle it. Be careful about adding too many running days per week or building your mileage too fast. Use focused cross training. Make sure you have a strong core so that you don't get an injury, and make sure you're eating a good diet too. That will really help your training.
Well, I think the Garmin Marathon was a lot of fun, and I usually don't get too much into marathon sponsors. Like every marathon has a sponsor or some partner, right?
Right.
And it's usually branded that way. Sometimes they're unhealthy sponsors. This one was more kind of neat because Garmin makes running watches, and we had our Garmins on. You know, had made sure we were looking the part. I'm sure a lot of people had their Garmin running watch on.
Not just because it was the Garmin Marathon. It's probably because they wear them every time they run.
Well, what other running watches are besides Garmin?
There's Timex. There's a variety of
them. Yeah, who's ever heard of that? I'm just kidding. But wouldn't you think that probably most people have a Garmin if they're going to have a GPS watch?
I would say probably 75% people do.
I've got a Forerunner 305. It's like having a laptop on my arm. It's kind of big, but I'm thankful for it. And Angie runs with a Garmin 110. Garmin makes GPS stuff, as everybody knows, but they make stuff for aviation and for boats and for cars. We actually have a TomTom in our car, and we used our TomTom to get to Garmin headquarters. And it did well. I was wondering if maybe our TomTom wouldn't recognize Garmin headquarters just because they hate each other. But
apparently not.
So since this marathon was sponsored by a company that has something to do with running, I can be obsessive, and I wanted to learn a little bit more about the Garmin company. The headquarters is actually in Olathe, Kansas, where we were. And it was founded by two technology scientists, one guy named Gary Burrell and another guy named Min Kao. And the company was started in 1989, and they combined their two names, Gary and Min, and their company was named Garmin. So that's how it got its name. Pretty neat, huh?
That is cool. Very good fact. They actually, at the expo, I believe, they had a place where you could take your watch and ask them any questions about your Garmin device and get tech help or figure out how it worked and things like that. We didn't take advantage of that because probably we didn't think forward enough to bring our watches with us. So the half marathon course was pretty much totally separate from the full marathon. It veered off at about mile 3, and then it came back together about a mile before the finishing line. So tell us about your half marathon experience.
I enjoyed running the half marathon. Originally, I had signed up for the full, but my training kind of fell apart because I'm lazy. I took a trip to California. I spent like a week driving, and I didn't run much. So I decided to downgrade to the half, which they let me do with no hassle, no problem. I didn't get any money back. But yeah, I've never had to downgrade or upgrade my registration, but I did it like right when I got there. I don't know if all the races allow that. This one certainly did. My medal is smaller than yours, which is a bummer, but what do you expect?
Smaller distance, smaller medal.
I would say the big highlight of the half marathon, I've done a lot of half marathons, but the big highlight of this one was about mile 5. I'm running along and I see Scott Jurek running with the 140 pacing group. So I pulled up alongside of him and I kind of just waited for him to get done talking to whoever he was talking to. So then there was a break in the conversation and I struck up a conversation with him. And I think we ran together for about a mile.
Cool.
Just talking, and here's how I started the conversation. I was like, hey, I read your book. thought it was awesome. And then I might have asked him if he had plans for any other book coming out or something like that. So we chatted for a little while, and he said that he's going to maybe give professional running one more year and, you know, try to go out and win at another event. He's thinking Leadville this summer. This is what I'm trying to recall of our conversation. So he's never won Leadville. I think he's come in second or something, but okay. He's going to try to get back in the game. But he's kind of getting beyond the competitive years. He did hold the United States record for a 24-hour race, which is insane, which is like how many miles can you accumulate in 24 hours? But his record has since been broken by a guy named Mike Morton, and I can kind of tell that he wants to reclaim his title, so he might try to do that again. Who knows?
Okay.
As we were talking, one thing I noticed is how smooth his running form is. It was really fun to watch him just glide along.
So we're all dying to know, did you ask him to come on the podcast?
I did not. I never really saw the opportunity. Like, there wasn't a good moment to do that, and I don't want to be obnoxious. Maybe I missed an opportunity, but I just couldn't see the chance to ask him about coming on the show without seeming like an obnoxious dude with a podcast. But anyway, it was still fun to be able
to... So everyone send their hate mail to Trevor for not asking Scott Jurek on the podcast.
Oh, I remember one thing I told him. I said, hey, Scott, I had to downgrade from the full to the half, but when I heard that you're running the half today, then I didn't feel so bad. And then I actually beat him. So, like, I went on with the 140 group, and he kind of cruised at his own pace. So I finished before Scott Jurek. Does everybody hear that?
We hear. What was your finishing time?
I finished in 140.47.
Woohoo! It's not far off your PR, is it?
No, I was hoping to break 140, but I just did not have it in me.
All that laziness and
everything. I don't think it will be too hard to break 140, though, if I can not be so lazy.
I know you can do it.
I think I really seriously think I could run a 135, 130 half marathon.
I think you could, too.
And you would think if a guy could run a 140 half, that I could run like a 330 marathon or something.
You could, with enough training.
I can run a fast half marathon, but when you start adding on a lot of miles, it just works me over the coals. So tell us about the finish line of the course.
Well, they actually announced every runner's name who crossed the finishing line. I'm thinking it was with where you were from as well. But sometimes when I get to the finishing line area, I kind of like hear my name, but it's kind of like, are they really saying it or is it a dream? Like, I have my own announcing going on in my head. Like, is it a hallucination? Anyways, it was a very personalized, you know, type of marathon. So the finishing line area was pretty well organized, and they had actually timing chips on the shoes we had to get cut off and, you know, get your medal and your water and the Mylar blanket, and which was nice because it was cold and windy still. So, and then kind of the finish line area I thought was kind of randomly spaced out. I mean, there was kind of food booths at different spots. So, I mean, they made us walk, which is good, but...
I kind of expected you to get your t-shirt, like, the same time you got your medal, but you actually had to go and wander and find it.
Right. They had a results table where you had to go and tell them your name or your bib number. They looked up your results, made sure you did legitimately finish, and then gave you your shirt. So, there was a whole process, which was a little bit complicated for my post-marathon brain, but they did have these really good hot-off-the-grill chicken sandwiches that really hit the spot because it was kind of chilly and, you know, I don't know, I was just, like, munching that thing down.
By the time I picked you up and I came back and you were munching on that thing, it did not look appetizing to me. I was like, this is a nasty frozen chicken sandwich.
It wasn't frozen.
Well, before they threw it on the grill, it probably was.
Well, that's okay. Semantics.
I'm glad you liked it.
It was very good. I was starving.
It was the salt that you needed.
It was the salt, yeah. So, yeah, decent finish line food, I thought.
And after we went to the hotel and showered up, checked out, we went and got some proper Kansas City barbecue.
It was awesome. And I'm not, like, wild about barbecue, but this place was really good.
And
I was impressed.
Yeah, when you're in a certain geographic location, you got to get the food that location is known for.
That's right.
Which makes me wonder, like, what is Dayton, Ohio known for?
If you're from Dayton, you'll have to let us know what the best restaurants in that area are.
Yeah, where do we eat after the marathon?
Because that's almost as important as the marathon itself. No, not necessarily, but it is a good part of, you know, working hard is enjoying a good post-race meal.
Yes.
And oh, the dessert was to die for. I ordered this like triple chocolate fudge thing. It was so good.
It was massive. We had to share it.
We shared it,
which
yeah.
It's really hard to get Angie to share her dessert, but
it was so big, there would be no way I could eat it, and that's saying something. So, yes, we had our salt, we had our sugar, and then we had a long drive home.
Yeah, and it was really enjoyable to see some friends that we hadn't seen in a long time over in Kansas City area. So our friend Marilee says once in a while she listens to our podcast, so if she is listening to this, thank you for your hospitality.
Yeah, we enjoyed catching up with Jeff and Marilee, and they are moving to the Washington, D.C. area now, so now we will impose on them when we run our marathon in Washington, D.C.
And if you'd like us to impose on you, just send us an email.
That's right.
So that is our recap of the Garmin Marathon in the Land of Oz. We recommend it for anybody who's able to do that race. We thought it was a lot of fun, good theme, well organized, and we had an overall good time. So now it's time for this episode's quick tip, and Angie's going to talk about a subject very dear to her heart, running skirts.
I wouldn't say dear to my heart. I'm actually not one of those early adopters. It's taken me a while to get on the running skirt bandwagon, but I figured so many people have been raving about these things for years now.
Really?
That maybe I should try them out. And actually, during my last marathon in St. Louis, I got fed up with my running shorts. They were like crawling up, and I was having to tug them down, and I was just really annoyed. So I read a lot of reviews online and ordered four different running skirts. And
four different running skirts.
Four different ones, yes. Really broke the bank.
Oh, man.
And so I have been testing them. And actually, I did the cardinal sin during the Garmin Marathon, and I wore one of them without testing it first for the whole marathon. But I figured since it was my 15th marathon, I can just do what I want, okay?
You could bend the rules.
I could bend the rules.
That you make.
Yes, yes. So anyway, the one I wore for the Garmin Marathon was called the Lululemon Pace Setter Skirt. And I was really actually impressed with it. It is very cute, which, you know, if you're wearing a running skirt, you want to look cute. And I'm not really big on my appearance. I'm not like high maintenance, would you say?
No.
No. So
I mean, you have a very lovely appearance.
Thank you so much.
But it's just natural.
Right. And it's a comfortable skirt. I ordered the tall version of it because I like running skirts a little bit longer because I'm not particularly fond of my large thighs. So I thought it was comfortable, very cool.
Does it have pockets?
It did not have as many pockets as I would have liked.
And you can put a lot of pockets on a skirt.
Yes, you can. And so that's the
26
one.
26 pockets at least.
26. And that's one of the cons is it only had two small pockets. So I had to wear my spy belt with it to fit all my gels and fuels and stuff like that, which is not a huge deal. But since I've been wearing the Race Ready shorts and they have just a ton of wonderful pockets, that is one really nice thing about them. So
why did you like this one above the other ones you tried?
I like the way it looked. I like the way it fit, the length of it. The fabric, you know, stayed down. It didn't really ride up or anything. It was just fairly comfortable. And I like the other ones, too, for different reasons. So I'm going to do a blog post about all four of them. So if you were interested in what I thought of these running skirts, you can read the whole blog post. And I won't bore all the men with the gory details about them.
Sounds good. And if you'd like more information on running and marathon training, visit us at marathontrainingacademy.com. And while you're on our website, you can download a free audio gift called The 7 Pillars of Successful Marathon Training. Thank you for being part of our podcast community. We want you to know you do have what it takes to run a marathon and change your life. Well on my way, well on my way.